Hello, it's Brody. I love bringing mummification to you each week, and if you'd like to support me to keep doing that, you can make a once-off donation through the Acast supporter feature. There's no regular subscription, and your donation will help pay our music license, buy audio gear, and put fuel in my car so I can keep interviewing the amazing women who share their stories with us. There's a link in the show description and episode show notes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to Mummification. I'm your host, Brody Matner. This podcast is a space for women and parents to talk about how they're feeling. And sometimes they feel like swearing. So this episode may not be suitable for young ears. Hello and welcome back. It is so nice to be here. I've really missed it over the last month or so. And it is so nice to be chatting to women and sharing their stories with you again. This year I'll be taking on some more freelance producing work, which means I'll be releasing episodes fortnightly instead of weekly, and we've got some amazing women coming up, and hopefully some more dads to hear their perspectives as well. But to kick off the new season, today we have the wonderful Sophie Weiss. Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sophie Weiss is a triple threat. You're an actor, singer and dancer, and you're currently in Frozen, the musical, and you're mummy to seven-month-old Chloe. And I was thinking now that you're a mum, you're like a quadruple threat.
That's so true. Although I still call myself a triple threat because I don't know how good my dancing is. But yeah, it's definitely a bit of a juggle.
It's a new skill to add.
That's good. I like that. Might put that in the CV.
Thank you for chatting with me today. It's so nice.
Thank you so much for having me.
So if you were stuck on a desert island and you could take a meal, a drink and a personal item, what would they be?
Okay, so my initial reaction was a cheese platter because I love a cheese platter, but I thought a sweaty cheddar and melted brie was not so good. So I think I'll go for like a deluxe seafood platter, lobster, oysters, prawns, nice and cool and chilled and the lot. To drink, not to go with the platter, but I definitely go coffee. I'm a big coffee drinker, so probably an iced latte just to keep things nice and cool. And personal item would have to be, I'd say, a portable speaker. So I could listen to lots of different music, podcasts, audiobooks, kind of got me covered on lots of different fronts.
Yep.
At the moment, our only speaker in the house is always in Chloe's room playing her classical music. So it would be nice to just pop
have
on
your own
tunes. And I think that would keep me company and keep me sane.
So I was thinking the other day, you had Chloe in lockdown in Melbourne.
Yes.
During one of the many COVID lockdowns.
I don't know which number it was, but.
And I had June nearly exactly a year before, also in lockdown.
Oh, great. Let's hope we're not doing it next year.
Fingers crossed. What was bringing her home what you expected it to be?
Well, I was out of the hospital 6 hours after I gave birth. So, It was kind of a mix of COVID times in terms of being out so quickly, and also I was in this really excellent program at the Royal Women's called the Cosmos Program. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't.
Because it's the public system, you're often seeing lots of different midwives, and at each appointment. You don't have that consistency of care. So I was lucky enough to be put in that program with the one midwife who I saw for every appointment, and she was at my birth, which was really, really amazing. Like, I was so grateful that I could get into that program. But one of the premises of being accepted into that program was that you had to leave hospital quite quickly.
Why?
To be accepted, you had to be a low-risk pregnancy. And I think because, you know, they have their caseload of people and they need to sort of be able to move on to the next one, I guess.
Yeah.
But then the midwives came to our house every day for the next, like, four or 5 days, so, which I actually kind of enjoyed because they could see us in our environment. They could see where we were bathing Chloe, where she was sleeping. You know, I took them up to my bedroom, was like, can you look at my stitches? I just pulled down my pants. So I just felt a bit more relaxed in that way. The only downside from leaving hospital so quickly was I was shown for like 15 minutes how to breastfeed. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Got
it. They've got it. Oh, she's latched. She's fine. You've got it. And then, I don't know, it would have been like 3 or 4 weeks in, I had like severe nipple damage. And then I got mastitis 3 times in a row. And that was really hard. Yeah. I found the mastitis really, really, really hard.
Mastitis is horrendous.
Yeah. And it starts playing with your emotions as well.
Like, yeah.
Really badly. And same thing, I'd done a lot of preparation for the birth, but I hadn't really thought about that side of things. So I felt maybe being rushed out because of COVID and all of that was a downside. But in terms of bringing her home, it was really nice to just have that time with her and not the pressure to sort of rush out and introduce her to people, have people over. Drew and I are very social. So, you know, we probably would have, you know, finish a feed, pop her in the pram and go somewhere or, you know. So I felt like we had really good quality time to bond and to get to know each other. Which was really nice. It was hard because I was introducing her to people in the rain, in the park, you know, because I did want her to still have those connections and stuff. But, you know, you'd literally be under a rotunda being like, here's my daughter.
It's a bit different from having people over or in hospital to kind of have a nice quiet visit.
Exactly. And I think I was really aware of that, of her, like, not having conversation and people in the house. And Drew went back to work after 2 weeks, and I remember just thinking, oh, like, I'm going to have to make sure she's hearing language. And so I would just tell her everything I was doing, you know, which I know they say to do, but I just sort of did it flat out. I was like, I'm chopping my peach and here I am putting it in the microwave. That was interesting on that front, but so there were definitely pros and cons, but it's interesting. Like, I've been thinking about it. There's actually been a lot of good things that have come out of having her during the COVID times, but in a roundabout way. Like, we had our mother's group all online. We didn't get to meet in person or anything like that. But then they made us break out, because it's like 25 people in my mother's group. It was quite big. But we broke out into suburbs. And then we ended up catching up with some of the mums in my neighbourhood. And I don't know if it was because we couldn't see our other friends who weren't in our 5 kilometres that we might have leaned on more during that early time. But we, like, formed this really tight bond really quickly, because we kind of mightn't have had that other friendship support that we would have had if we could have seen everyone.
Yeah.
And we'd sort of catch up once a week in the park and have wines. It was really nice.
That's so nice.
I don't think those friendships and that support may have happened if we hadn't been, you know, confined in the COVID lockdowns and stuff. So, yeah.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword. Baby COVID things, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So with you working in stage shows predominantly, how did you navigate conception around theatre contracts? Was that tricky?
Yeah, good question. It's really tricky. a lot of times in musicals you're employed for maybe anywhere from, oh, it can be shorter contracts, but normally around about 10 months to 2 years, 2.5 years. So it's really tricky to know when's the right time to fall pregnant, you know. My husband and I had just been finishing doing a about almost 2 year contract where we'd spent a lot of time apart, and we sort of thought that we would start trying around the end of that contract, but we were in different states, so it was a bit tricky to try. But we did. We'd sort of book in as many flights as possible, and you know, I was really obsessed with tracking my ovulation to make sure, you know, and I was doing the peeing on the stick thing, and it was not very romantic, but I knew that we kind of had a limited window, and it just wasn't really happening for us. And then the opportunity of Frozen came up. Actually, the whole rest of the cast had already been cast. I wasn't really involved in the audition process from the start. But then there was a few plots still to be filled. And I said to Drew, look, you know, should I go in for this? Like, just go in for it, see what happens. I went into it. And we were sort of still trying at that point because that we hadn't – Frozen wasn't on our radar. And then I got it, and I sort of called him. I was in Sydney and he was in Melbourne. I was like, oh, gosh, you know, we're trying for a baby. I don't have to take this. You know, I want it – like our relationship and is really important to us at this point, you know, and our spending that time together and trying for a baby. But he's like, you know, I think you should absolutely take this. This is really exciting. I'll put my he's re-qualifying and to be an electrician at the moment. He said, I'll put that on hold and I'll come to Sydney with you and we'll do the tour together and we'll actually spend some time together and I'll pick up some handyman work around there, but no more long distance, let's do it together. So he came to Sydney, which was great. That was the plan, but then Frozen was pushed back because of the lockdown. So it was meant to start in like March, got pushed back to October. So we were like, it's a big, when you're trying to think about babies and stuff, because we were going to maybe start trying later in the season. So, you know, start the show.
Yeah.
And then a bit later, you know, once I'd been there for, I don't know, eight months or something like that, we might start trying. So we're like, oh, what do we do? So we sort of, we thought we'll just be a bit less careful because it felt as it like, we didn't even know if Frozen was going to happen. It didn't even feel like anything was definite. Things were getting stopping and starting all the time and we just didn't know what was for sure, and I just didn't want to have the regret of, oh, we'll just wait till we start. So we'll just wait till the end of the next contract and then, you know, it not be able to work out for us. So we were a bit less careful. I fell pregnant and then we realised that with that pregnancy I wasn't going to be able to start to do Frozen because that was going to – I would have been 20 weeks pregnant when rehearsals were starting. So we told the producers, but we were a bit too hastily because then like a week later I had a miscarriage. So again, like impossible to time everything. So then we told them, sorry, I still want to do the show.
I'm back in.
So we were like, okay, Frozen's back on. But there was still they were still ambiguous about if it was going to happen because they just didn't know with all the restrictions and all the numbers and the caps on theatres and stuff. So we sort of were like, let's maybe just see. We've had a miscarriage. It might take us 6, 7, 8 months to fall pregnant again. We didn't know. It was pretty devastating, the miscarriage. So we were just like, we'll just
try. How far along were you?
I wasn't too far along. I was like 8, 9 weeks. So not too far.
I don't know that I've not had a miscarriage, but – I imagine that it doesn't matter how far along you are because you know you're pregnant and then all of a sudden you plan and you think and you imagine.
And even just the physical act of it happening is really scary and just like confronting. It was pretty devastating, and you know, we had a lot of wonderful support around us, and even though I wish that didn't happen, it was weird that it sort of all happened for like a reason, because then I couldn't have started Frozen and Drew couldn't have come to Sydney with me, and we had like a really special time being pregnant with Chloe in Sydney. So yeah, we found out we were pregnant with Chloe on our second last day of hotel quarantine before rehearsal started for Frozen. So I had to do all of rehearsals with morning sickness and no one knew. And I was sort of vomiting every morning and then rehearsing from 10 till 6 with all the international creatives there sort of watching you and trying to remember new Corey and everything. But I just did it because I had to. So I was pretty nervous about telling them that I was pregnant. Mm. So soon after we'd started the show, I felt really guilty. I don't know. I just felt like it was inappropriate timing or something.
Contractually, is there, I don't know if legally there can be, but is there anything contractually, like do you get in trouble if you leave early or?
No. That's just sort of not for something like that.
Yeah.
And the producers at Frozen have been so supportive. I told them after opening night and they were really great. Like straight away, because they knew with the miscarriage that I kind of was still keen to work, you know, that when I had told them first I was pregnant but I wanted to return the show, they knew that I was happy to be a working mum. Some people choose to have a baby and then maybe step away. That's just not right for them to be performing and being a mum. But they seemed to know. So I didn't even tell them, hey, I'm pregnant and I might want to have a break. They just said, great, okay, so you can tell us how long you think you'll be able to stay doing the show for pregnant. We'll work off you, you know, and let's just keep having discussions week to week, check in, how you're feeling and everything. And then you let us know within reason when you want to come back to the show. Because of the nature of the contract not being like an ongoing full-time position, I couldn't take a year off or 8 months off. I spoke to a few other mums in the industry who had done it, and some had gone back at like 8 weeks on certain shows or 3 months. So I decided on 4 months, it was 4.5 months in the end to go back. So I had 8 months off the actual show, but 4 of those months the show was actually not open because of lockdown anyway.
So when you stopped working at 24 weeks pregnant?
Yeah.
And was that because you physically felt like you couldn't, or you just decided?
That was kind of the amount I'd picked about 14, 15 weeks. I no one knew how my body was going to react to being pregnant or when I was going to show. But from other mums who had done shows, that was around about the time they'd finished in terms of it not affecting the costumes too much. I mean, I understudy Elsa, so I don't think having a Elsa singing Let It Go with a big belly might take on a different meaning. that was kind of when I'd had some advice that like maybe it would work in terms of costumes, because even that's the other thing to take into account was like even when I told them at about 13 weeks, a couple of weeks later, like none of my costumes fit around my ribs, like everything was expanding.
Because you change shape but in a really weird way.
Yeah, my tummy wasn't showing much there, but like my ribs were expanding so much and like my hips and things like that, and all of our costumes are fully like corseted, boned things, and they were so accommodating. They were always letting out my ensemble costumes, but the Elsa costumes are worth so much money and are so delicate, so that wasn't really an option to like go
alter
it. Yeah, alter those. So it was kind of when I decided to finish up, and I probably felt like I could have done a few weeks, but more weeks, but as soon as I got out of those costumes, it all hung out, and it was like Chloe was like, thank goodness I can breathe in here.
And then you did return at 4.5 months postpartum?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Well, how was your birth?
It was full on. But
it was fine.
It was great. It was great. I loved it. I was pretty lucky though. It went pretty smoothly. So I had been booked in for an induction because my I had the static fundal height where get the measuring tape out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was what they were saying. You've stopped growing 4 weeks in a row and we have no way of seeing inside what's happening. So we think that the baby's stopped growing in there. So we think you should be induced because you're very small for however many weeks you're meant to be. And it kind of... I was like, okay, you know, and some people were thinking it was just the way I was carrying or things like that. But I've been booked in for an induction and I was preparing myself mentally for that and I was a bit nervous about it. And then I had this amazing induction massage with Mary de Pellegrin. Do you know her?
No.
She's on Canning Street. I highly recommend her for like pre-pregnancy and postnatal massage stuff. She's amazing. And she... I did this massage and I'd been feeling quite anxious about the birth before that and I was sort of like on Drew's back about like, we're a team, we're going to do this together, you and me, we've, you know, if you've got the birth plan, do you know what to say? Like, it's not just me by myself, we're doing this together. And I remember going into the massage and she sort of did a little meditation and halfway through I just sort of said, not in a rude way to Drew, but I was like, you're actually doing this on your own. You don't need Drew. You got this. He can't help you.
Yeah.
You've got to do this by yourself. And then I came home that night and I had a bath and I was just doing a little like hypnobirthing. I did a hypnobirthing course, hypnobirthing meditation, and then my waters broke naturally. Oh. Just let it go. Let it go.
Let it go.
And then Drew was making lasagna. I said, he's like, I haven't finished doing the layers. And I said, oh, no, it's fine. Like, we'll just pop in and then we'll be back and, you know, they'll just tell us that, you know, go and labour at home. And so I said, just finish it, do the layers of the lasagna. And we call my mum and dad, be like, we just put lasagna in the oven. If we're not home in an hour, can you go and take it out? And we got there, and by the time we got there, like, it had just progressed really quickly and I was like stripping off layers of clothing in the waiting room. It was so hot. Anyway, very long story short. From the time my waters broke to when I gave birth was about 10 and a half hours. And my midwife was there the whole time. And I did a vaginal delivery and didn't have any pain meds and got it out.
Here she is,
had an episiotomy, all of that. So that was something I had to deal with in terms of recovery. But it progressed pretty quickly.
Yep.
So... that was that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And then, yeah, sorry, going back. So you did then return at 4.5 months.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I imagine your job's really physically demanding.
Yeah.
How are your energy levels?
To be honest, not too bad actually. Chloe's been a pretty good sleeper, touch wood. So I was lucky enough that I wasn't getting too much disrupted sleep around about that time. Like when I went back to work a few weeks later, she started waking up a bit more during the night, but I felt okay with that. And in terms of physically, because I knew I was going back to work, I was sort of doing Pilates and exercising when she was asleep from pretty early on to prepare myself. And I was doing my singing Let It Go while she was asleep and in the next room and things like that. So, yeah, I surprisingly was okay, I think.
That's good.
All is a haze, isn't it? You're like, you sort of forget. But it was all right. And I think also because I finished work at 24 weeks pregnant, I actually had like 8 months off
Yeah.
from doing anything. Yeah. So I was kind of it's different. Like, it's so hard in our industry that you can't work until like you're 38, 37 weeks pregnant, like a lot of women do. So I felt like I was ready to go back in that way because I'd had so much time off and I was sort of – but that being said, in the weeks leading up to going back, I was pretty anxious about leaving her, and I kept thinking, oh, she's too young. Have we got a strong enough connection yet? Is she going to love me less? Like, I was pretty anxious about that. But then once I got back and it seemed to be going okay, it was all right. So, I kind of prepared myself physically and emotionally because I knew that I was going back at that time.
Yeah. And when you're at work, do you mainly work at night?
It's a variety of things. So we do 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
So that involves some double show days. So like on a Wednesday, a Saturday and a Sunday, we do 2 shows in a day. So that day normally looks like this. we get up, we do our morning feed and our morning awake time, and she goes down and I get ready for work and everything. And then she wakes up and I can feed her again before I go to work because I'm only a 10-minute bike ride away. So I ride my bike in, do the show, and during that time if it's during the week, she's looked after by my parents or my mother-in-law. Finish the show and I ride my bike back here, and then she wakes up and I feed her again and we hang out, and then I go back and do the evening show, and then my husband's back from work at that point. So then he'll feed her and do bath time. And then by the time I finish that show, I come back and I dream feed her, and then the day's over.
That's so full on. That schedule is so busy.
I could make it easier for myself and, you know, get to work a bit earlier and my parents could give her the bottle, and I don't know if I'm shooting myself in the foot or if I'm taking on too much, but I feel kind of it's important to me that I spend this time with her if I can, and that she's like only getting the bottle from someone else one feed of the day, even when I'm doing 2 shows sort of thing.
Yeah.
So.
And so you're still breastfeeding?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and then sometimes we have an evening show, so I get to spend the whole day with her and I go into work at about 5:15.
Yeah. And so do you or did you have to like pump at work?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm pretty lucky in that, you know, often in some corporate jobs you might have to find a room or a private room or a toilet to pump in. But because I'm in the ensemble, I share a dressing room with like 12 other women and we're all in the one space. And I asked them when I came in, I said, you know, I'm totally happy to pump in the toilet if you'd rather, or I can just pump myself in this corner. And they were so amazing. They were like, no, absolutely, we're totally fine with it, you pump here. So I just, like, everyone's walking around in their bra and undies anyway, because that's just what theatre's like. So I just sit there with my pump on.
Pump away.
But the pumps, it's pretty funny. They've actually made up a song to the rhythm of my pump.
Of course they have.
Because it's got that beat. So they all have a little, they all sing along when the pump's on. So it's a pretty supportive workplace in that way. But I actually have breastfed Chloe at work one day because I brought her in when we were doing this photo shoot thing, and the only way I could be part of the photo shoot was if I brought her into work. And she was having a lovely time. She was in the Ergo Baby while I was doing my makeup and she was enjoying watching that, and I had my wig cap on. And then I put her on the floor and the girls were playing with her, and I went and got my wig and I had to breastfeed her. And I put her on, I had my wig and my full face of makeup, my eyelashes on, put her on the boob, and she just looked up at me and she burst into tears. She was like, who is this woman? She was so freaked out. Even though the wig was the same color as my hair, she was just
like, it's a lot more hair.
She was like, who's this stranger? She smells the same as my mum, but just look like her.
She just looks a bit different.
She looks like a drag queen. So she's already had a few interesting experiences in that way.
Now you're about to head off to Brisbane.
Yes.
And you're going to be there, did you say, for a year?
We're touring around Australia with the shows. We're just in Brisbane for 3 months and then we're going to tour around,
Oh, how are you feeling about the move? Because you won't be near your family and Drew's family.
Mm, yeah, I'm I'm sad that she'll be away from her grandparents, especially after COVID, like not seeing the grandparents as much, especially in those early days. Mm. And we haven't seen them as much as we would have liked. But they're going to be coming up quite a bit to visit. But I'm actually looking forward to it because Drew, my husband, is going to be putting on hold his sort of apprenticeship, and he'll be picking up a bit of work, but just sort of around our hours and when I'm home. So we'll be on the same sort of schedule, which we haven't been for a while. So I'm looking forward to some really good quality time in that way. And just introducing her to a different environment, and we're going to go on little holidays on our days off and really make the most of it. Yeah, I'll be sad for her to like leave her little mother's group buddies as well, because, you know, we see them at once a week, and having that interaction with other little babies is important. So I'm a bit sad about that. But yeah, I'm mostly happy about us just all being together as a little unit and having some special, it's pretty like a once in a lifetime opportunity to go around Australia as a family, and for Drew to not be working as much is pretty awesome. We're in a fortunate position that we can do that.
And how do you feel about yourself in terms of your identity now that you're 7 months in?
It's interesting. Like, I was thinking a bit about that, about if I have felt a big shift, especially when I had her. And I think I really felt the big shift of that identity shift when I stopped working, actually, which was like earlier on in the pregnancy. I found that really hard. I found it really hard that I was sort of having to make that sacrifice, even though I still had all this time left in my pregnancy. And I generally, I felt a bit at sea as to who I was without that, and being physical and having my body was like a really big part of who I am. And I resent Drew a bit for being able to go for like big bike rides or runs or like, you know, have that.
Yeah.
So I think that was a big shift for me. Now I kind of, I really love being a mum, and I'm really loving this new chapter. I miss a lot of the freedoms of just being able to like just go shopping and like spend time. Like, I'm like, I need new clothes, but I'm like, I don't have time to just go and, you know, just take time for myself or go to an exercise class. And because Drew's working, it's not like he's working at home like a lot of other parents are, so there's not much time for me at the moment. So I'm sort of missing that, and I'm finding that a struggle to find the time for myself. I'm still not really giving myself that. But I'm really loving this new chapter, to be honest.
Yeah, it's nice. It is really, I find it really hard to find time for myself too. And like, your work time doesn't count.
No.
You're on your own, but you're doing something else.
Yeah, I've kind of, I was talking to a friend about it earlier on, in when Chloe was probably like 3 months old or something, about how I kind of had given myself this pressure to, I don't know why, it wasn't like a conscious decision, but to be 100% present the whole time she was awake.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And like, you know, trying to help her development from like the moment she woke up to like the moment she went to sleep.
Develop.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be like... Even when she was little, I put her in the bouncer and I'd be in the shower and I'd do like a three-act play whilst I was having a shower. I'm like dancing and like entertaining her, and then I'd read her a book, and then we'd do a full tummy time, and, you know, like. But then I realised, and she was actually the person that told me, because she's a psychologist actually, and there's this doctor that had come up with this philosophy about the fact that they actually only need our attention. Like, obviously, we need to look after them and be in the same room and make sure they're not hitting their heads and stuff. But 30% of the time, like, in order to develop, it's called good enough parenting is great parenting, is like the motto.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's sort of, I'm still trying to sort of take that on board, because I've noticed that when I do just leave her to just explore and not have me around, is when she does grow and develop and become independent, you know. And then it's like, okay, I can do my own thing and not feel guilty.
Yeah.
But I would just put this sort of pressure on myself to, like, you can't even look at your phone. You can't even, if someone calls, you know, Chloe's awake. You can't answer the phone.
Yeah.
You know? And because I just wanted to be, like, the best mum that I could for her. But I think that's been a big thing that I've been trying to take on board at the moment, is that leave her, like, give her space.
Yeah. Well, so they say, and I'm not, like, citing anything I heard somewhere, that it's good for them to be bored.
Totally.
Because then they
find
something else to do. And I know my three-year-old in particular, you know, always wants me to play with her and be engaged.
Yeah.
But when I'm not, she tells her own stories. You know, and often that's really interesting because I can hear, like, she'll talk about things that have just happened or, you know, a little story. And so it's like a really nice insight into what's happening for her without her having to tell me.
Yeah.
It's nice when you can leave them a bit too, but it's hard.
It's hard to find that balance, but it makes it easier for you, because then when they are asleep, you've already cleared the dishwasher or you've already done something, so you can just do something for yourself.
Yeah.
So I still find that hard, but it probably sounds a bit crazy, but, like, yeah, I'm just trying to give her a bit more space to give myself more space.
Are you the kind of mum you thought you'd be?
I think so. I've always been, again, going back to the last sort of thing I was talking about, I've always been someone that sort of puts other people first, and I think that's what I'm doing with Chloe. But I think I'm enjoying it even more than I thought I would.
That's nice.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel bad saying that I'm enjoying it, which is weird, but, like, I don't know. I think sometimes it's hard, and everyone's circumstances are so different. Every baby's so different, and some people have really tough first year, and then it might be easier, and who knows, you know, it might be hard down the track. But I'm really loving it, and I think I'm proud of the mum that I'm being. I think I'm learning all the time. I'm learning to not be a helicopter mum.
That's really hard. I'm bad at that.
Drew's like, I've been a parent just as long as you have, you know. But I think lately I've been aware of, I think that's me trying to control the fact that I'm not with her all the time. It's like, when I'm not with her, this is me showing that I'm, like, actually still caring for her if I'm telling you what to do when she's not there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my justification, because I know it's awful. I know it's not good for anyone.
What surprised you? Or has anything surprised you?
Just, like, how much you love them.
Yeah.
It really hurts sometimes how much you love them. And it's just like your heart is, like, walking around out there, you know, like, you just watch them. So I've been surprised at the joy and the satisfaction I've got so early on, I think.
Yeah.
I've been surprised with that. What else? Mastitis was a surprise. That was pretty awful.
Yeah, that surprised me too.
That came out of the blue, because we don't think about all of that stuff.
As soon as I said, I've got mastitis, so many women I knew were like, oh, yeah. I had that. Why didn't you tell me?
Exactly. And now I feel like I might could write a PhD on it. Like, I know all the tips and the tricks. That's stressful at the start.
Yeah, it's awful.
You know that, you know, and you need to drain the boob, but it hurts so much. And I'm glad, touch wood, that I haven't had that for a while.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise.
And what's something empowering that you would say to other mums?
I would say don't start with a negative. Don't start with a negative. let yourself, like, your circumstances are your circumstances, and don't compare yourself to anyone else. I know that, like, when I was hanging out with my mother's group and they were all having a year off work and then they were going to go back to work like 1 or 2 days a week, I started feeling really guilty, and that I was going back to work so early, and I was really upset been made me really upset at work at one point as well. But your circumstances, there's no sort of golden rule for everyone about when's the right time to go back to work. There's no golden rule about how your baby should sleep or, you know, like what to do with your baby. Like, you just have to listen and to yourself, look at your circumstances and just sort of deal with them. My circumstances are I had to go back to 4.5 months and I made that work for me and our situation, and it's worked out really well. And that's not going to work for everyone, but you're doing the best job you can with the circumstances that you have.
Yep. Thank you for chatting with me. Oh, it was so nice. You. It was so nice to hear your story.
Oh, thanks, Brody. Thank you, Arjun.
Thank you so much, Sophie, for chatting with me today. If you are currently in Brisbane, get yourself to Frozen. The show will be there for 3 months, then following that, Adelaide. There are a couple of links in the show notes, where to get tickets for Frozen, information about Cosmos at the Royal Women's in Melbourne, which is the birthing program Sophie was a part of, a link to Melbourne Pregnancy Massage. Sophie mentions Mary de Pellegrin in the episode and highly recommends her for pre- and postnatal massage. And last but not least, a link about why good enough parenting is great parenting. Mummification is produced and hosted by me, Brody Matner. Our beautiful music is composed by Ben Talbot Dunn. If you're enjoying the show, please rate, review and subscribe. You'll be notified when a new episode is released, and it helps us reach new audiences, which in turn will hopefully help more women feel less alone. Thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.